Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. Soundproof. It's a noise. I'm hearing some noise, and it's not cicada noise. But go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And we have with us Philbert. Philbert, welcome to the show.
Howdy, because you can handle the truth.
You can handle the truth. And the truth, well, what's the truth? How do we get at the truth? How do we know the truth? How do we know what we know? How do we know what other epistemology?
They say that the truth is what happens when your eyes are closed.
Huh. I never heard that.
Sure. But something like that. The truth is what you can't ignore when your eyes are closed.
Okay. Well, I never thought of it that way. But in the last show, my Friday show, I had callers. And we had I had a caller, one Jay from San Diego, whom I'd never spoken with before. And he was asking about Vladimir Putin, whether it's non-cicada background noise. So I know we on the one hand we don't want you to be muted when you're talking, but anyway, this he called in, and a lot of people, you know, wonder about Vladimir Putin. Anyway, so regarding Vladimir Putin, so he was put in by oligarchs, but he's attacked. What he did is he betrayed the oligarchs and put, you know, he chased Berezovsky and Kaczynski, I think that was his name, out of the country. Khodorkovsky put in prison. And the other ones, you know, some of the smaller ones just cried uncle, and he let them keep their, you could say ill-gotten gains, but the fact of the matter is they were legally gotten. They were acquired legally, even if it was through a really rotten system. He let them keep it if they didn't interfere with politics. So I would say in that case that the, you know, the power vector is not that they're controlling him, but that he controls them, or at least he limits their activities. And finally, you know, I mentioned Syria. That certainly wasn't the Jewish agenda when he propped up the Syrian government, which is doing fine now. And then he's the biggest target of Jewish power in America. They're on the verge of a World War III in order to get him. This whole Ukraine thing is in order. It's clear. It's in order to try to push Vladimir Putin out of power through the sanctions. It's failed. It's been a failed project. But the idea was that by cornering him into invading Ukraine, then they could have international solidarity in these sanctions, which would lead to an economic crisis in Russia and topple his government. It didn't happen, but that's clearly the aim. Now, some people have said that, well, you look at the coronavirus, he went along with the coronavirus. And that's kind of where I want to pick this up, the broader philosophical, epistemological aspects of it. But before we get into that, what do you think so far?
Well, I don't know how this pertains to what you said, but they have de-dollarized. They're probably the largest country that has pretty much de-dollarized also.
Right. And de-dollarized, and to what extent would they be de-dollarized now if it hadn't been for all this Ukraine stuff and the sanctions against them?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest, because I don't think we had a whole lot of trade with them to begin with. I believe Europe did with the oil, but I couldn't say. That's my
And
final answer.
yeah, that's fine. And Europe had a lot of oil trade with them, and oil trade typically was in dollars, even if America wasn't one of the parties, right? And part of the sanctions, they were kicked out of the SWIFT system of international settlements. So, it's not as if I've have been following the Russian economy that closely over the past several years, but I do know that there's been sanctions. You could say some of the sanctions started around 2008 with when there's a little border skirmish with Georgia, and then they got ramped up a bit with the so-called anti-gay legislation in 2013. There were minor sanctions revolving around the 2014 Winter Olympics were in Russia, but they really got. And then there was something called the Magnitsky Act. There was some accountant or like tax accountant named Magnitsky who was working for a actually part Jewish minor American oligarch in Russia. You say oligarch, rich person. I don't even know if he was a billionaire, but he was, up there. And his name was Bill Browder. He was actually the grandson of a former Communist Party USA chairman from the 1930s. So this Communist Party USA. And the grandfather wasn't Jewish, but had married into a Jewish family. I believe that's the thing. And so Bill Browder was partly Jewish, and he fell out of favor with the Russian government, and his accountant was arrested. And we're talking about like 2012 or something, maybe 2010, was arrested and wound up dying in prison. And was there neglect involved? Were his medical conditions ignored? At any rate, he died in prison. And Russian prisons have never been, they're not on the Club Med circuit. And so there were sanctions that were levied against Russia over that. And then, of course, once the so-called Maidan revolution or Maidan coup of Victoria Nuland in February 2014, once that the Ukrainian government was toppled, then Crimea was annexed by Russia. And we don't have to go deep into that, but the annexation of Crimea by Russia kicked off a whole nother round of sanctions. And so,
So I looked it up, and Russia's debt to GDP ratio is not their dollar debt, just their overall debt to GDP ratio is in one of the top 10 lowest. It's seventh lowest in the world ranking, next to Haiti and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So they are officially at 11.7%, and
Okay.
The United States happens to be seventh highest at 113.8%, next
Where's
to
Japan?
Lebanon, and they're the first at they're number one at 240.7%. Right next to Greece comes in at a close second at 139.9.
Well, that you know that those are interesting figures, and you look at that and you say, okay, why is Japan and Greece, why are they right next to each other? What does that mean? Why is Russia and Haiti and Congo next to each other? What does that mean? So in the case of Russia, Putin is an extremely conservative economic manager, and he's become more conservative over the years. So in the aughts, people were referring to Russia as a gas station with an army or something like that, right? Because
that's fair. It seems to me like he's a very realistic. He's a realist.
He's realistic. I'm not always sure. Like the political science realists, I'm not always sure how realistic they are. But that's another story that we could get into later or in another show. But yeah, he's very down to earth and realistic. And so early in his administration, in 2004, 2005, 2006, if you remember, gas prices got in the United States, it got up to $4 a gallon in the mid aughts.
Yes, they got very
high. Yeah. And this was because there was the Chinese economy was growing fast, the Indian economy was growing fast, and they're big. And, you know, all these third world economies were growing fast. There was a lot of demand for a lot of primary goods, and Russia is a producer of these. And so Russia was doing very, very well at that time. And then a combination of lower commodity prices and sanctions, lower commodity prices at first, and then sanctions in particular, got Russia to, especially after 2014, to embark on what's a program known as import substitution. So it used to be that Russia exported these primary goods, especially oil and gas, energy, and then it imported all these consumer goods. Now, before, like during the Soviet Union, all consumer goods were produced in the Soviet Union, or, you know, there's some things that were produced in Czechoslovakia or Hungary or Poland and Cuba. There's, you know, a few. Soviet Union had a small number of satellites that it traded with, but it didn't trade in a big way with the rest of the world. And consumer goods, yeah, they weren't. And the thing is, they weren't really very high quality, right? So you get blue jeans. They did have blue jeans, but they weren't very good. They'd fall apart. They made things, but they just weren't high quality. And when the Soviet Union was dismembered, and these economies, the Russian economy in particular, when they were integrated into the world trading system, nobody wanted most Russian manufactured products, so they just stopped doing it. But then Putin said, "No, we're gonna do this," and so he, in order to reduce Russia's need for overseas to purchase things from overseas, he just started a program of favoritizing. Is that a word? Favoring.
It is today.
Yeah. And you know, he had always been conservative in terms of trade balance, and he'd also and had inherited a large foreign debt because Russia borrowed a lot of money in the Yeltsin years, and so he paid that back with revenues from oil sales and whatnot. And so, and then what you're referring to is basically budget deficits, right? The public debt to GDP ratio.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, and that he's purposely been paying that down, and so it's next to nothing. This is what a lot of countries, their ministries of finance say that's what they want to do, but are incapable of doing it. Now, why Haiti? Why Congo? Why are they low on that list? Basically, I mean, Haiti's economy has been more or less, or their economic policies have been dictated by the IMF and World Bank. It winds up getting bailed out, but then it has to undergo austerity. And so these African or these black countries that have low debt to GDP ratios, it's because of austerity that's been forced on them by the World Bank and the IMF and lender countries. Anyway, anywho, anything else on Russia's economy before we move on to is Putin part of the plan because of COVID?
I would just add in, I don't think it's any secret. We've mentioned that I myself have been learning how to speak Russian. Number one, because of the challenge, it's not a Latin-based language, and it's much more easier, or I'm sorry, much more harder to learn, much more easier language, such as like learning German or French or even Spanish. You know, lots of United States citizens learn Spanish, but because it's similar in nature. I decided to learn a Slavic language, the Eastern Slavic language, which we know is Russian, just surely because of the challenge. And it'll keep my brain busy, for one. You know, I don't waste my time watching Netflix. I don't play video games. So, you know, what do I do? I come home and learn Russian. That's one reason. But I think it's funny when some of my coworkers find out, you know, I speak a little Russian here and there while I'm at my workplace, and they say things like, I've been asked if I'm former military, which I'll disclose I'm not. I've been jokingly asked if I'm a terrorist, you know, and in a joking manner, you know, that's just kind of comical. But I mean, when you really think about it, if we had to defect somewhere, where would we go, right? So, it's somewhat realistic, you know, I'm kind of half-heartedly asking this as a joke, but where would we defect to, right? Like South America? I mean, I wouldn't mind visiting Argentina, honestly, but there's lots of European blood there. That's where a lot of the Germans went after World War II. But I don't know. I think it's very realistic that a lot of, or at least some, maybe not a lot, but it's up to the future, I guess. But it's very possible that we could be defecting to Russia or maybe Eastern Europe, where they do speak Slavic languages.
You know, that is a plan B or at least a plan Z. And if you ever watch the SpongeBob movie, sometimes you do have to resort to plan Z. I don't know. Plan Z, I love you. That's what Plankton said. Most of my audience isn't going to get that. I don't know how many people in my audience have watched the SpongeBob movie. But anyway, you know, so, well, last week we had a Fed posting boomer who was just liquidated in his driveway by the FBI, right? And you can say whatever you want about it, but we've got several hundred people who simply walked into the Capitol on January 6th, walked through open doors with the police saying, come on in, and they're languishing in horrible conditions in prisons in Washington, D.C. So,
yeah,
you know, plan Z.
I would add that I would quickly say that that's really frustrating, you know, when Trump was pardoning these Jewish criminals like Bernard Pollard and these a lot of black rappers, while these, you know, you could call them patriots, but as you said, they walked in to the Capitol building with doors open with the authorities telling them to come on in. And I know this had just happened. He may not have expected them to be still rotting away in a year and a half. Otherwise, he may have pardoned them. But, you know, it goes to Trump's character, you know, when he pardons Jewish criminals and black rappers instead of people that supported him, you know, in the early January.
Yeah, and most of these people had not been arrested yet by the time Trump left office. But still, there were people who had been arrested, and Trump would have known about it. And, you know, instead he was going to Jared saying, you know, you got any Jewish friends you want me to pardon? You know, Trump is Trump. Okay. And I may very well vote for him again. I probably will vote for him again if we have an election. But
consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You know, Trump is Trump, okay? And I may very well vote for him again. I probably will vote for him again if we have an election. But Trump is Trump. But today, you know, we could get into that some. But I'm getting back to Jay from Los Angeles's question about Putin. Well, he went along with the COVID to an extent. You know, they developed the Sputnik vaccine, and there were some lockdowns. Now, to what extent were the lockdowns the result of, say, local governors? Like the mayor, mayor or governor of Moscow was more gung-ho on these. I don't think they had, like, as far as I know, it wasn't really a national thing, but whatever. And Sputnik was not mRNA. Sputnik might have been viral vector or something like the Johnson & Johnson one. It wasn't as mundane as the Sinovac. The Chinese vaccine was just an old-fashioned vaccine. And the rap against it was it didn't work. Like, who really cares? But, okay, so there was at least a certain amount of unnecessary COVID measures. Yeah, a certain amount of lockdown, So does that mean he was in on the plan? And this is kind of one of the things I want to get to. So there are two things. One is people, you know, everybody thinks they know certain things, right? And I think I know certain things about January 6th. I'm pretty sure a way forward on January 6th, and that was to object to the votes of every state, right? But I knew that, and at least a few other people were aware that that was possible, and I think the FBI was aware it was possible, but I don't see any evidence that the Trump administration, that the Trump campaign, that the Trump team was pursuing that. They were. It looked like they were pursuing other things, like having Mike Pence refuse to count the votes, which is not as sound a strategy. But the FBI wouldn't have known if the Trump people knew there was a good strategy and were just acting retarded, or if they really were retarded. But the people around Trump, there were a lot of, you know, I think they really were retarded. That's my thing.
Probably right. And I would add that, like, Mike Pence wasn't even supporting Trump at this time, too.
Right. He was already trying to distance himself from Trump. And, you know, where was Mike Pence on Inauguration Day, January 20th? Didn't he go to Israel? Didn't he just, like,
he did. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
He just went to Israel. So, I mean, so there's, like, I brought up January 6th just because I'm pretty sure that was a good strategy. But I don't know how many other people understood that. I know I'm pretty sure John Yoo, former Justice Department official, who wrote the torture memo for the Bush administration. I'm pretty sure I saw him write about it. And I know I've heard Peter Navarro in retrospect talk about it, but I don't think it was widely understood. Now, but so with the COVID stuff, now there are people, like, honestly, I'm pretty agnostic about a lot of things regarding COVID. Where did it come from? Was it a lab leak? Was it developed in Wuhan? Was it developed in Chapel Hill? I mean, if I had to guess, I'd say it was developed in Chapel Hill, or in America, and then Fort Detrick, Maryland people took it over to China and released it in late 2019 because they
right. These people in that case they could have plausible deniability and blame China as they've been doing. That makes sense to me.
And I don't know that that's the case. That's my leading theory. Maybe, you know, Mike Rivera is always talking about somebody dropped the test tube. Maybe, I don't know. I can't say that wasn't it. There are people who say that there was no such thing as a coronavirus, as a novel coronavirus. There was no new virus. It was simply the cold rebranded. And I doubt that's the case. I'm not going to go 100% sure. Now, there are other people who say there's no such thing as viruses. And I know there are people in the RBN community who go along with that. And who's the guy who pushes this? Some Jewish doctor. What's his name? There's Thomas Cowan, who's not Jewish, but he sells structured water. Andrew Kaufman, who is a Jewish psychiatrist. Now, psychiatrists go to medical school, and I think he went to an elite medical school. And I would honestly, I think he knows better. But I think this is just his gig is promoting that there's no such thing as viruses. I don't want to get too deep into that now because it'll waste a lot of time. But here's the thing. So Andrew Anglin, who I have an awful lot of respect for, but he wasn't saying that there's no such thing as viruses, although he entertains that as a possibility. But he was saying there's no new virus. So he's sure of that. Okay, so that's one thing.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
He wasn't saying that there's no such thing as viruses, although he entertains that as a possibility, but he was saying there's no new virus. So he's sure of that. Okay. So that's one thing. You can be sure of yourself. And I'm not sure of myself on my own theory, but he's sure of himself on his theory. But, and this was the one thing I criticized him for, and he actually seemed to, not by name, but actually kind of respond to me. It's the only time he's responded to me about anything since like 2016. But my criticism was, you can be absolutely sure of that. But when he was saying everybody else knew, everybody in power knew that there was no new corona, new virus, that I pushed back on. Okay, he can be absolutely sure if he wants to be sure. But I guarantee you that this was not, that Putin and the governments of China and India and Japan and Poland and Congo and all these other places, they didn't have that certainty. I know for sure that lots of people thought there was a novel coronavirus. I think there probably was, and I think a lot of people thought it required freak out measures. I don't think it required freak out measures, but I think a lot of people freaked out. And so that's the thing. You can be sure for yourself, but to project that certainty onto others then leads to, well, if everybody in charge knew that there was no novel coronavirus, but here you've got Vladimir Putin and he was going along with some of these policies, therefore he's in on this giant plot. You see where I'm going?
Yeah, what's his name? The president of Belarus. I got a brain fart. I can't remember his name. Lukashenko, right. Yeah. I think he's probably said it best. And yeah, he's not perfect, but and he sent refugees to Europe, I know, but I think he said it best. Didn't he say something like, go drink, play hockey or something?
Yeah, he said drink.
And
drink,
he was
drink,
also and said that. He also said that he was offered money to not say that or to go along with, the gig, like all the lies that we heard here. I believe he was offered money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, my dog, Mr. T, he grew a comb over and a mustache in Lukashenko's honor because Lukashenko was that based. So
very handsome.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing. If you project your own certainty, and in this case, I think there are new viruses. Like, if you're going to say there's no such thing as viruses, then you can't go along with this line of thought. But new viruses come along all the time. New strains, they come along all the time. Regarding the virus itself, not the origin of the virus, but the virus itself, new viruses come along all the time. I don't think there was a giant conspiracy to pretend that a new virus came along when it didn't. But I think there was a lot of small conspiracies, and there was an awful lot of pressure. So I think a new virus came along that was dangerous to some very unhealthy people, to very old people, and to very fat people, and people with bad hearts or bad lungs. It was dangerous for them, at least initially. And maybe some measures to help isolate the truly vulnerable people while letting the virus spread normally the rest of the population, that might have been warranted. Doing absolutely nothing would have been way better than what they did. And I do think that there were some small conspiracies involved in these policies. I think there was an effort to like the whole flatten the curve thing. The flatten the curve. What is
just 2 weeks? Just 2 weeks, bro. That's all we need. Just 2 weeks.
Yeah, but then they kept flattening it and flattening and flattening. And flattening it means while the number of cases on a particular day is low and therefore hospitals aren't overwhelmed, people are going to get the virus sooner or later anyway, according to the flatten the curve. The flatten the curve wasn't to reduce total cases. It was just to spread them out over a longer period of time so you don't overwhelm hospitals, but that prolongs the so-called pandemic. And by prolonging the pandemic, you're prolonging the period of time that genuinely vulnerable people need to be isolated. And it got to the point where it seemed pretty clear that there was an effort to keep the pandemic going long enough to roll out the vaccines. So I think that was one part of the conspiracy. I don't think it was all about the Benjamins, but I think it was partly about the Benjamins. So I do think there was like a conspiratorial aspect to, because some people knew better. I think most of the decision makers didn't know better. The coronavirus task force. Do you remember who was the head of the coronavirus task force?
No, I don't.
It was Mike Pence, right?
Oh.
So, and Fauci was part of it, and what's her name? Madam Bricks, what was it, BRIX or something? She was the head of, was she the head of the CDC at the time? And, there were some medical people who were part of it who should have known better, but there were some political people who were part of it who wouldn't know better. And, like people like Mike Pence, he doesn't know better. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. And this is not his field of expertise either. And, Trump's worries were probably that shutdowns were going to take away his biggest election advantage was a booming economy. And now you're going to shut down the economy and take that away from him. And then also, when they started introducing like these states started introducing mail-in ballots, you know, there's a fraud. So for him, I mean, I can understand why Trump was willing to go along with this, what do they call it, Project Warp Speed, to bring out the vaccines faster than anybody had before, because he's trying to get the country off of lockdowns and off of mail-in ballots so that he can get reelected. I can understand his motivation for that. It was a bad decision. He had a lot of bad decisions. But just getting back to, well, I'm going to get back to Putin, but I'm going to give you a chance to jump in here if you want.
Sure. No, go ahead. I don't really have any thoughts. I'm just listening to you. You know a lot about this, or at least more than I do.
All right. Well, so, I mean, for Putin, or for the Chinese, or the Japanese, or the Indians, or the Nigerians, I think that there was a lot of confusion. They didn't really, and I think it, the leadership level, there were people who thought that, well, I mean, the Americans were putting out all of this data saying that a gazillion, like 6 million people were dying. Well, not 6 million, but they were saying we've got hundreds of thousands of people dying. Now, we know that those numbers were, to a large extent, fake, right? They were testing dead people to see if they had been exposed to coronavirus over the past month, right? And if somebody had corona antibodies in their system and had died in a motorcycle accident, they were thrown into the coronavirus deaths, right? So a lot of fake.
And I would add that, at least in my area, you were encouraged to be test positive because you got 2 weeks off with pay. So, and I don't know if I don't think that was mandated by the government. I don't know if it was subsidized by the state government or not. I think it was, at least in my state, home state of Missouri. But anyway, so in that case, you had people that, you know, wanted to get it so they could get a free vacation. And, you know, I myself did get it. I actually felt pretty good. So I went on a 2-week vacation and camping for 2 weeks. And that's just what happened to me. But yeah, I mean, you know, people were encouraged to get tested so you could become one of the statistics.
Yeah, I didn't become a statistic, but I did self-test about a year ago. I wouldn't have even self-tested, but I was going over to a neighbor's house, a elderly, obese neighbor to, I think I was going to hang a door for her? I was going to do something. I did some handyman work for her. I was going to do something for her. And I woke up and I had a scratchy throat. And I know that she had been in the hospital for a while. She had the coronavirus sometime in the prior year. And because she was a very unhealthy person, it was bad for her. And so she was freaked out about it. So I thought, well, I can't go over to her house with this hoarse voice. So I called her up and said, you know, listen, I got a hoarse voice. So you probably don't want me to come over. And she said, that's right. And so then we had some coronavirus home testing kits. And I'd taken one before I made the phone call, and it was marginally positive. I thought, well, okay. And then like a couple days later, I took one, and it was clearly positive. And, you know, by that time I was taking the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine and some other stuff that Dr. Duke told me to take. Not that I think I needed it. I don't think it really would have mattered one way or the other, but I did. And then I tested again a day or two later, and it was still clearly positive. And then like on the fourth or fifth day, it was clearly negative again. And at that point I had no symptoms other than that. A lot of things smelled like my friend Donnie's cigars. I don't know why. And my sense of smell has been a bit off ever since, like I really care. But so it was no big deal. And I didn't go into the stats. I had been tested a couple of times before. I was, for whatever reason, I was hoping to test positive early on because I was thinking that would, if I was ever in a position where they were trying to push vaccines on me, maybe a positive test would help. I was thinking in future terms like that, but the thing is, so I, th- I know, for instance, in Japan, the leadership was freaked out, and they got everybody to wear masks, not as much with mandates as just with recommendations, and they didn't have many deaths. Well, the reason they didn't have many deaths is, even though they have a rather elderly population, but the reason they didn't have many deaths is they weren't faking numbers, for one thing, right? They weren't faking numbers, but they just thought, oh, wow, our death rate is like 1/20th, 1/15th, or 1/20th of America. Whatever we're doing right. So we're just going to keep wearing masks. There's half the people in Japan are still wearing masks to this day. The leadership's not. Although maybe on TV they are, but they're not within the parliament. I know that for a fact. They're not in their own offices, although they were a year ago, but they're not anymore. But they're not going to tell the public, oh, actually, we kind of overstated the dangers. But I think the Chinese were. This is one of the reasons I don't think it was a Chinese lab leak bioweapon, is because the Chinese were genuinely freaked out and were locking down their population until their population just kind of virtually started rioting. The population put their foot down and said, we are done with these lockdowns. And then the government said, oh, okay, we'll back off. So I don't think the leaderships, the elites around the world, all were in on it. I think a lot of them thought there was something, and I think there actually was something. It's just there was a virus that was dangerous to some people, but didn't warrant any of these extreme measures. The extreme measures were all a problem, and they were exploited by people with very sinister agendas. But that doesn't mean everything was plotted in advance. So I'll kick it back to you again.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this 2020 will go down in history. I like to call it the summer of love, because I remember it largely from the race riots that happened that has only happened in my lifetime. I know it happened in the 60s and happened, here throughout our United States history. But it's something else when it, you read about that in history books and see pictures of it, with the cops with fire hoses and spraying down the blacks in the 60s, the race riots and Watts, and it's another thing to see it on TV and for it to become somewhat close to home to you. It's a different story. So with mm-hmm. that, and then the election, and is what you've been saying with the corona fever, it's kind of wild, but I'll largely remember 2020 for the race riots, and then after that, the election, the shammed totally real election that we had. So that'll go down in the history books for sure, at least for me.
I've heard people, and for me too, for sure, the 2020s in general have just been, 2023 hasn't been too bad, but but we are on possibly on the verge of World War III, so it could get worse. But there are people who will say the coronavirus or certain other things, everything was completely pre-planned, and they ran computer simulations, and they knew exactly how they were going to unfold things. And honestly, if you think of your own life, that's if you're going to drive from your house to your workplace, your house to somewhere, you might know the way. Or let's just say you're going to somewhere kind of new. Maybe you know the way, maybe you don't. But do you pre-program every single push of the acceleration and a turn of the wheel? Do you have it all pre-programmed? Or you're just kind of like, you have an idea of where you want to go, but you're adjusting. You're constantly adjusting in real time your accelerator, the wheel. And then maybe there's like a moving truck that's going to be blocking your way forward. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to take a detour. And you do all this stuff in real time. And, I think like with regards to the coronavirus or certain other things, that the elites knew more or less where they wanted to go, or some elite. I mean, some people were more interested in rolling out a vax and getting the Benjamins. Other people were more interested in faking an election. There were people who had a different agenda of creating the infrastructure of a totalitarian police state with, you know, QR codes that you have to show in order to prove that you're in compliance with whatever the policy is, right? I think there are people who had different agendas and were able to take advantage of situations in real time. How many years of planning do you need for that? I think people, if they've got agendas, can take advantage of an opportunity when it arises, rather than having everything pre-planned out through computer simulations. That's...
Yeah, that's about right.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
advantage of an opportunity when it arises, rather than having everything pre-planned out through computer simulations. That's about right.
I read there was a journalist, right in front of me, and I'm going to waste time looking for it because it'd be hard, but there was a journalist in 2014 that claimed this was on the books and only he, like a fake pandemic. Only he put this in context of if there were ever an uprising in America, like this is what they would do. And I thought that was awfully, sort of realistic, you know, and this may be what happened. You know, they may have seen a future uprising, you know, or the beginnings of one, and maybe this was something they did to quell that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're going to go back to 2014, I'll say this. I was saying in 2014 that Victoria Nuland is the most dangerous person on Earth, and what she's doing could start a World War III with Russia. That doesn't mean I was part of a plan to make it happen. She was on my radar screen for whatever reason. She was on my radar screen, and I was very alarmed by it. And somebody could see the potential for this type of thing, and write about it. And kudos to that person. Does that mean everything was necessarily planned out that far in advance, or this person? Like the people who wrote the Protocols of Zion, this person had a good understanding of what potentially could happen and wrote about it.
Yes. Hey, by the way, I'm actually reading a really good book about the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Okay.
It's called Just That.
And then we'll wrap up.
Okay. Well, I bought it from Cosmotheist Books. As I've stated before, I'm a member of the National Alliance. It's the pro-white organization started by Dr. William Luther Pierce. And they sell books, and it's largely, it's a very good book. It's written by Dr. Thomas Dalton. It was retranslated. So it goes through and compares the old translations and the new translations. And it was... plagiarized, or I wouldn't say plagiarized, but some of it was kind of copied and pasted from a French book, and I'm not all the way done with the book, so I can't speak too much on it, but I just thought it was funny you had mentioned that, because I'm actually reading a book about that right now. And you can go to nationalvanguard.org if anybody's interested in getting these books that you cannot find anywhere else.
And Thomas Dalton, if it's the British guy that I'm thinking of, is a very smart guy. So, okay. Well, thank you for joining me, Filbert.
Well, thanks for having me again, and I always look forward to next time.
And I do too, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.